Now, let's bring in Bruce Williamson, who's with Rail Future, campaign for a better rail network. Bruce, good evening.
Hello.
Well, this is a start. I know it's not quite the same as the rail network, but are you relieved that finally the night tube is happening?
Yeah, I think it's a logical and obvious development, really. And, you know, we've had night buses for years and years and years, haven't we? And as I think you mentioned a while ago, it's a sort of 24-hour city. You can buy a burger at 4 a.m. It'd be nice if you can get a train home after it. So, yeah, I welcome this.
I'd rather they didn't eat the burgers on the tube, though.
Yeah, of course, it's
they smell enough as it is.
Of living in a big city, isn't it? Yeah, okay, I mean, you've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah. Do you know why it's taken so long? Is it union resistance or inflexible management or both?
I think it's a little bit of both and a little bit of the practicalities of running a clapped-out Victorian railway system, you know, because obviously there's a lot of maintenance that goes on at night, and that has to be sort of shifted or somehow dealt with. So I think it's right that, you know, we're not going sort of full-blown every line every night, a little bit of sort of softly, let's try it, see how it works out, and let's gradually develop it. Yeah, I mean, you could argue it could have been done earlier, and in fact, years ago, they very occasionally did experiments with it, I think, didn't they, around New Year's Eve and so on, which was successful. Bring it on.
You can get the tube home, so you're more likely to work later at night.
Bruce Williamson, there will be issues, of course. Some people will be worried about security, people will be drunk, inevitably, because people drink too much. Will there be the staff, do you think, on hand to reassure people?
Well, I think it's pretty essential that there are. I mean, it's one of the things we campaign for, you know, in the move generally to sort of de-staff and automate everything. I think it's very, very important that we have that human presence at stations. It's obviously part of the what's behind this dispute on Southern, of course. The railway operating company wants to make the drivers responsible for closing the doors, and the conductors fear that means that's a slippery slope, that's the thin end of the wedge, and they'll be eventually gone altogether and there'll be no one on the train. So, you know, that human presence is very, very important.
What's the charging structure? I mean, they're not doing it for love, that's for sure.
That's certainly true. I'll be honest, I don't know for definite, but I would have thought that the charging would be the same as normal, really.
Right.
In the past, there's been that slight problem with tubes that go over midnight, you know, which day do you...
Yes, on your Oyster card.
Yeah, so I think they're going to have to be a little bit of flexibility built in there somehow. But I'm sure those, you know, it's a relatively minor problem, and those sort of problems will be ironed out, no doubt.
Andrew Pearce on LBC.
LBC's most talked about, with me still, Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, Andrew Silk, Head of Criminology at the University of East London, Amanda Owens, a leading sports psychologist who's worked with Olympic athletes, and Sarah Jane Mee of Sky Sports and Sky News fame. Now, rail commuters, some at least, will see their season ticket costs increase by hundreds of pounds next year. Regulated fares in Britain will rise by up to 1.9%. Shadow Transport Secretary Andy McDonald says it's time to take the railways back from private companies.
They're making vast profits now at the expense of passengers and at the expense of taxpayers. What we're saying is, when those franchises come to an end, we should revert to directly operated railways so that the state is running those railways from that moment onwards.
Well, Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, is he harking back to a golden era of the railways which didn't really exist, actually? Was life so much better under British Rail?
I think you're right to say that this golden era never really existed, but nationalisation, it's possible, it's certainly possible, and, you know, the vast majority of the railways in Europe have not been nationalised, but privatised. So we have a kind of comparison of how it might work. Clearly nationalised railways do work. The problem with British Rail largely was that it was starved of investment, and that's the problem that we're still dealing with now. We've got this backlog of decades of underinvestment, and there's a shortage of capacity, which is why we have so much overcrowding. There's a shortage of rolling stock, which results in the same thing, and unreliability. So, you know, nationalisation isn't necessarily the be-all and end-all of it.
What a lot of people probably won't realise, Bruce, is that rail companies still get a huge subsidy from the taxpayer.
Well, that's partly true. I mean, it depends on which line. Some very profitable lines pay money back to the government. And in fact, I think that the amount of money that gets paid back has sort of gone up and up over the years to the point where, overall, it's about 50-50. The rail companies are sort of running at zero subsidy overall. Where am I going with this? Oh, yeah, but the important point is that the government is still really running the railways. The Department for Transport is running the railways. The franchisees themselves, these companies, have very little room for manoeuvre because, you know, they're told by the government which rolling stock they're going to get. You know, they're not sort of free to go and buy their own as they wish. And the timetables and the fares and so on, it's all done in negotiation with the government. So, you know, we're halfway to a state-run railway anyway, you know.
I don't know who runs Overground. I'm not too sure.
Bruce, come to our aid. Who runs the Croydon line?
If it's Overground, I think it's, and I should know this, I think it's not a franchise. It's a sort of contract that's run by Transport for London.
And of course, some people are saying that the Mayor of London should take a lot of these, such as Southern Rail, which is a disaster area, should come under TfL's control. Would it make it better?
Possibly, I think it would actually. Yes, I mean, you know, given the evidence we've just heard that the Overground is doing reasonably well and so on, I think it might do. But of course, it's swings and roundabouts because you're then managing those sort of suburban railways for the benefit of Londoners, whereas other people who have other destinations might suffer because the service isn't necessarily then so much focused on them.
Andrew said, what do you make of the idea? Nationalise the trains. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the golden era of British Rail. I am. It was pretty rusty gold, trust me.
I'm pretty sure it's never going to happen. I mean, it's one of those policies that you...
Bruce, what do you make of it? It's popular, probably, with long-suffering commuters, but do you think they see through it?
Well, no, because I think it is possible. I mean, I think the evidence shows that it is a popular policy that most voters would support, and I think it is doable as well. It would be very easy for...
Where would they get the money from?
Well, not only is it doable, it has been done. Look at the East Coast franchise, which was, for a relatively short period, nationalised, and it worked fine, and there wasn't any particular cost, because the rolling stock already existed, the staff already existed. It was a case of transferring management from a private company to a state-owned company, and there's not really much cost involved in doing that.
But you don't have to buy the private company out of the franchise. You just wait for the franchise to expire.
Yeah, you just wait for it to end, when it naturally would. There are several up for grabs in the next year or three. So it could be done, and it would take, I don't know, probably for the longest franchise, 15 years, and then you'd have your state-owned railway back.
However, though, may I point out that actually, you know, the rolling stock, most of this rolling stock on the railways is very out of date, and we need modernisation compared with, you know, the European railways, for example.
And you won't get that under a government.
Exactly. So how are we going to finance it?
Briefly, Bruce, how are we going to finance it?
Well, we finance it in the same way we're financing it now. The new trains that are on order and being built are all financed from central government. They're not financed by the individual train operating companies. They in turn lease them, and that could happen under a nationalised system, or the ownership of the train operating the rolling stock companies, that could too be sort of, you know, transferred to the public sector.
All right, Bruce, we're pressure of time. We are now at that test again in this.